All right, Jabal, say good morning. We left off Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Right? Zayin Amud Beis, seven lines up. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishra Mishra Man Yochai Kala Kalvei Amakom Letfila So Oivav Noflim Tachtov. So Rav Shem Ben Yochai says that anyone who establishes a place for his prayer, his enemies will fall away from under him. Shana Amar V'Santi Makom Lami Yisrael. Because the pasuk, according to the pasuk from the Navi Shmuel, V'santi makom la'mi Yisrael, I will make a place for my nation Yisrael, unetativ, I will plant them there, v'shochan tachtov, v'lo yirgaz od, v'lo yosifu b'nei avlo la'anosto kasheh barishona. So the Gemara is making a play on the pasuk, that I will make a place for klal Yisrael, unetativ, I will plant them there, and as a result, no one will start up with them anymore. Lo yosifu ol b'nei ava la'anoso. No one will afflict them. Kasher Rishon. Rav Huna Ramiksiv. Rav Huna says, well, 1 second. Here in the Navi Shmuel, it says la'anoso, that no one will continue to afflict them. But interestingly enough, in Divrei Hayomim, it says lechaloso. No one will destroy them. So which one is it? The Gemara says, betchila la'anoso, ulubasof lechaloso. So the Gemara says something very interesting, that in the beginning, meaning when they were building the Beis HaMikdash, the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael was that no one would afflict them. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we were sent into exile, the promise changed, and the promise now became that no one would destroy us. It is greater to serve Talmidei. Listen to this, how interesting this Gemara is. It is greater to serve Talmidei Chachamim than it is to learn from them. Meaning that the Talmud gets more out of serving the Talmud Chacham than he does from the Torah that he learns from the Talmud Chacham. Shene Emar, Po Elisha ben Shafat Asher Yotzak Maimai De Elio, because the Navi says that Elisha ben Shafat poured water on the hands of Elio HaNavi. Lamad Lo Neemar, Elo Yotzak. It doesn't say that Elisha learned Torah from Elio. Rather, what does it say? He poured water over Elio's hand. We see from here that it is greater to serve Talmidei Chachamim than it is to learn Torah from them. Rabbi Yitzchok said to Rabbi Nachman, why didn't you come to shul today? Right, where were you? I couldn't come. Well, at least you should have gotten together a minion and daven, whatever it is, in your house, wherever you were. So literally translated, now Rashi's, by the way, lo yachilna doesn't mean Abosa that he just didn't feel like it. Tosh kochi, I was very weak, so I couldn't come. Fine, if you can't come, at least get a minion in your house. Amrlei trichalei milsa. Trichalei milsa literally means it's too difficult for me, too much trouble. The Mashal understands that what that actually means is that he did not want to impose on others to come to his home. So then he says to him, okay, if you're not going to come to shul, if you're not going to go ahead and get a minion, at least have someone from shul go ahead, have the shliach tzibur send someone over to your house and let you know the time at which they are davening. So at least you should be part of the tzibur in some way, shape, or form. So it's interesting. So Rav Nachman says, I don't understand, Rabbi Yitzchak, what is the big deal? It's not like I didn't daven, I still daven. So what is this big deal about going ahead and making sure that I'm davening with the tzibur? Top of Ches. My dichsev, v'ani, sefilasi locha Hashem eis ratzon. So what's the meaning of the pasuk when it says, and as for me, my tefillah will be for Hashem at an opportune time, at an appropriate time. E masai eis ratzon. When is it an eis ratzon? B'sha'ashat tzibor mispalalin. When is the ultimate eis ratzon for tefillah? At the time that the tzibor davens. So Rabbi Yitzchak is saying to Rav Nachman, you don't understand. Yes, you could daven by yourself, but when you daven by yourself, you do not get the power of tefillah b'tzibur. Davening b'tzibur creates an element of eis ratzon. Now, the amazing part of this Gemara is that you see that there are stages that one could potentially go ahead and connect with that eis ratzon, even if for some reason one can't be with the minion. So whether it is that one gets a minion in their house, or whether it is that even if one has to daven b'yichidus, but one tries to daven at the same time that tzibur is davening, there is some element of tefillah b'tzibur with that as well. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanin, Amar Mehacha. Ko Amar Hashem, Be'eis Ratzon Inisicha. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, here the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Ko Amar Hashem, Be'eis Ratzon Inisicha. at the Eis Ratzon. Now, in Isicha can mean afflicted, or it could also mean answered you. At the Eis Ratzon, I answered you. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mehacha, Hein El Kabir Velo Yim'as. So, literally, again, pasuk from Eov, Hein Kel Kabir Velo Yim'as. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of multitudes, Velo Yim'as, and will not be disgusted with. So the Gemara, what the Gemara is using that for is, when is God lo yim'as? When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not reject the tefillos of Klal Yisrael? When what? When he's a Kel Kabir, when he is a God of multitudes, i.e. when we're not davening as individuals, but rather we gather together to daven as a minyan. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, Pada nafshi, pada b'shalom nafshi. Here the Gemara is quoting now from Tehillim. Pada b'shalom nafshi, mikravli ki berabim hayu imadi. Redeem my soul with peace, mikrav, from the battles that surround me. Why? Because the multitudes are with me. So you see, it's the same thematic idea in all of these psukim, which is that salvation comes with the group. How do we know that God does not reject? How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reject the tefillos of Rabbim? Shene'emar hein kel kabir velo yim'as. Uksiv pedein pedon nafshi mikrovli. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu kala osek betora ugmilos chasodim umispalel imatzibor. So listen to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, anyone who learns Torah or involved in Torah, gemilas chasadim, and acts a charitable kindness, and davens with a minion, ma'ale ani alav kilu pedaini li ulebonai mibein umos ha'olam. I count it as if he has redeemed me and my children from among the nations of the world. Or in other words, that davening with the tzibur has a certain element of salvation attached to it. Or perhaps on a deeper level, what the Gemara is saying is that when you daven with a tzibur, the amazing part in every single tzibur is most tziburim are not monolithic. You have such a variety in a cross-section of people. So when you daven with a minyan, you know what you have a little bit of? You have a little bit of kibbutz golios. Every time you daven with a minyan, you have a little bit of messianic flavor, a little bit of all of Klal Yisrael. So therefore the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you come together with the multitudes, and you come together with the minyan, it's as if you have redeemed me, God, and my children from the Umos, from among the nations of the world. Amar Reish Lakish. So listen to this. Kol mi sheyesh lo beis haknesses b'iro. Anyone who has a shul in his city, the eino nichnas sham lehispalel, and does not go in there to daven, nikra shachin ra, is called a bad neighbor. Shene emar, because the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, kol amar Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, al kol shchinai haroim, hanogim banachala, asher hinchalti es ami Yisrael. So again, the Gemara is making a play on the pasuk of the words Shchinei Haroim, my bad neighbors. Veloot. Not only that,
Elisha. A universal statement or a daily statement?
Just a daily statement.
This is the show I don't go to.
Yeah, right. Veloot Elisha Gorim Galus Lo Levonov. Not only that, but he causes galus for himself and for his children. Shnei Emar Hineni Notsham Me Alad Masam Ve'es Beis Yehuda Et Hosh Mitocham. I will uproot them from their land, and Beis Yehuda will be uprooted from within their midst. Amar Leiv Rabbi Yochanan Ika Sabi BeBavel. So they said to Rabbi Yochanan, this is actually interesting Gemara. There are old people in Bavel. There are old people in Bavel. Now, when they say old people, they must have meant people of exceptionally advanced age. Advanced age. So the Gemara says, Tama, Rabbi Yochanan was puzzled by this. Va'amar leman yirbu yimechem v'yimei v'nechem al ha'adom oksiv. Ava b'chutz ala aretz, lo. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that's strange, because the pasuk says that you will only have riboy yamim, right? You will have longevity of days in your children on the land that I've given you, which makes it sound like longevity is unique to Eretz Yisrael, but a chutz la'aretz, no. So the Gemara says, Kevan da amrilei, once they said to Rabbi Yochanan, however, mekadmi umechashchi lebeik nishta, that these people in Bavel who had this incredible longevity, they were also known to come early to shul, to be the first in shul, and to be the last in shul. Rashi says, mekadmi shachris, mechashchi arvis, kilomar ma'arichim beveisak neses, they spend an incredible amount of time in shul. Omer, Hainu da'ahani luhu. So Rabbi Yochanan said, ah, that's it. That's why they've been blessed with longevity, because they're getting there early in the morning, and they're there still by Ma'ariv. Kedam Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi libnei, as Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said to his children, Kadimu v'chashichu v'aylu lebei k'nishta. Make sure to always come early to shul, make sure to be among the last in shul, ki eichi d'toruchu chayi, in order that you will elongate your life.
This is a commercial.
Yeah, that's right. Amr of Acha Rabbi Chanina, Rav Acha Sinai Rabbi Chanina. Mikra, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Ashrei Adam Shomeali, Lishgold Aldososai Yom Yom, Lishmor Mezuzos Psochai. So what's the meaning of the pasuk, right? Of Ashrei Adam, praiseworthy is the individual who listens to me. Lishkol Adosazai literally means to stand watch by my doors and to go ahead and guard the mezuzos, the doorposts of my entries. Uksiv Basrei, Kimotzai Motza Chaim. So the Gemara says, you see, you have a pasuk that supports this idea that ultimately, who is praiseworthy? Praiseworthy is the one who is always standing guard by the doors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home. What's the doors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home? Well, at least for now, it's our shuls. And what does the pasuk say right afterwards? Because one who finds me will find life. Therefore, the Gemara understands that constant attendance in shul is perhaps one of the best kept secrets for longevity. Amar Echista. A person should always enter two doorways into shul. So what does that mean, two doorways? What if the shul doesn't have two doorways? So the Gemara says, no. Rather what it means is, Ela ema shir shnei psachim. Rather what it means is you should enter into the shul the measurement or the width of two doorways. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Shir shel shnei psachim. Rochav yikanis lifnim shlo yeshev samoch lepesach. Dinir alav kemaso iko besach ne. It says, v'yemezuman samoch lepesach lotzeis. The idea is, don't sit by the door in shul. Because if you sit right by the exit in shul, what does it look like? It looks like you're looking to make a quick getaway, right? Because shul is too long, or shul is this, or shul is that, so I need to get out as quickly as possible, and of course that's problematic. So a person should make sure to sit a little bit inside the shul so that they show behaviorally that being in shul is not a burden. Only once you're inside two doorways should you daven. Azos yis palalu kol chosid. So we'll say, now the Gemara is going to spend a little bit of time darshaning this pasuk. So this is a pasuk from Tehillim. So the literal translation is, and for this, every pious person will pray to you, le'es mitzo, for the time that he needs it. So David HaMelech is referring to over here that there are things in life that we each need from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we hope that when we ask God for them, God will provide them. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out what is that thing that man needs that's so important that we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide it for us at the time that we need it. So it's actually very interesting. Lies mitzo. I'm sorry, I'm Rabbi Chanina, le'eis mitzo. What does it mean, le'eis mitzo? And take a quick look at Rashi. Yispalel le'eis mitzo. Yispalel sheyihu mitzuyin lo k'she yitztarech. That the chosid davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this thing in life to be there for him when he needs it. So what is this thing that's so important that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it to be there when we need it? I'm Rabbi Chanina, le'eis mitzo, zo isha. What does that refer to? It refers to a wife. It refers to a wife. Shene emar, matza, isha, matza tov. If a man finds a wife, he finds good. So according to Rabbi Chanina, lies mitzo, that one thing that we seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help with, to make sure that he provides us with an appropriate match, is a wife. The ma'arava, so in Eretz Yisrael, kinasav inish isazah, when a man would marry a woman, amri lehachi, they would say to the chasin the following, matza, o motza. Now what does that mean? Right, is it a matzah or is it a motza? Matzah dichsiv, matzah isha, matzah tovia fake ratzom ne Hashem. So, did you find a matzah woman? And what's a matzah woman? That pasuk says, if you find a woman, you find good, and you bring out the will from God. Or is she a motza woman? What's motza? Dichsiv, umotza ani mar mimaves, es haisha. As Shlomo HaMelech writes in Koheles, I have found something more bitter than death. I have found woman. So, right? So what Shlomo HaMelech ultimately is highlighting over here, that you know, a good marriage could either be the most wonderful bracha in life, or chas v'shalom, it could be even more bitter than death. So in Eretz Yisrael, they used to ask the chasen, so tell us, Is it a matzah or is it a motzah? Don't try that at home. But all right, Rabbi Nosson Omer li'eis mitzah zu tola. Rabbi Nosson says li'eis mitzah. What does that refer to? What's that thing that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help with? That's Torah. Shene'emar ki motzai matzah chayim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omer li'eis mitzah zo misa. Listen to how profound this is. So Nachman says, what's li'eis mitzah? It refers to death. Shene'emar lamus totsa'os. Because the pasuk, and now here the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Tehillim, lamoves totsa'os. So literally, lamoves totsa'os means the different manners of death. So the Gemara says, Tanina mihachi, teisha meos ushlosha mine misa nivru ba'olam. There are 903 different forms of death in this world. Shene emar, lamus totsa'os, totsamos begimatria hachi hava. Kasha shebekulon. The most difficult manner of death is what the Gemara calls askira. So Rashi doesn't help us over here, but also Rashi explains that askira was a death that took place through a constricting of the airway. So essentially, a person essentially suffocated to death. Necha shebekulon. The easiest form of death is neshika. Is what the Gemara calls death with a kiss, misa through neshika. Askira. Damya kechizra begavava da'amra de la achure nashka. So askra could be compared to having a ball of wool that has thorns stuck in the ball of wool, and you pull the thorns back in order to extract them from the wool. Because Rashi points out, when you pull the thorns back, what inevitably happens? You take some of the wool with you. It's very, very abrasive. So the idea is that this askra is this exceptionally abrasive form of death. V'ika da'amri, kipituri b'fi veshet. Others say, you know what it's like? Rashi points out that in wooden ships, what they would have is they'd have small holes where they would put the ropes through, but the holes were exactly fit for the ropes. So there'd be an incredible amount of friction when pulling the ropes through the holes. So askura, again, that type of death has that same level of friction and pain. So that's it. Kipiture is the ropes. Kipifi veshet are the holes in the side of the boat. Neshika, what's misa ben neshika? Damya kimishcha benisa. It's like pulling a hair from milk, meaning absolutely no friction. It just simply glides out. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Le'es Mitzon. What does it mean Le'es Mitzon? Zo kvura. That refers to death. So Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the way the pasuk would read is Azos Yispalakol Chasid Lecha Le'es Mitzon. That every chasid davens, every pious person davens for you, that you should provide for them even in their kvura, even in their burial. What's the pshat? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Mikra, what's the pasuk that supports this? See, here he quotes the pasuk from Tehillim. Hasmechim Eli Gil Yasisu, the ones who celebrate, the ones who are happy to me, will celebrate Kiyimtsu Ukever, when they find a grave. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Amra Barashila, Hainu Darmi Inshi, Liboi Inish Rachami, Afilu Ad Zibula Basraisa. That a person should daven for Tua Kodesh Baruch Hu, that a person should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should find shalom until the last shovel full of dirt is put on his grave. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Zibula Basraisa Shama, Shehelo Shalom Kol Yemechayov. He should have peace all of his days. Va'af Biyom Kvuraso, even on the day of his death, of his burial, Ad Hashlochas Afar Ha'achrona, Shebekisu Kvuraso, until the last shovel full of dirt is put on his grave. Or in other words, what is the Gemara saying over here? The Rebbe says, you know what? A person needs Siyata Dishmaya, literally until their physical life is over in this world. When is my physical life over in this world? When the last shovel full of dirt has covered my body. And until that last shovel full of dirt, a person has to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Dishmaya, for heavenly assistance, for ultimately a sense of shalom, that everything should go okay.
I just quickly ask, when there's a site to a particular pasuk
Sure. Because these are not literal drushos. These are all metaphoric drushos from these psukim. So therefore, you could find, yeah, these psukim can be interpreted different ways. So Mar Zutra Amar Li'eis Mitzo Ze beis hakise. Marzutra says, what does le'is mitzvah mean? Each snippet refers to a bathroom. It refers to a bathroom. That what's the one thing that we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us when we need it most? A bathroom. A bathroom, okay, very practical. Ani ma'arava hod marzutra adifa mikulhu. So when I heard Yisrael, used to say marzutra, he really hit it on the head. Right? At the end of the day, all these other things are very wonderful. But the one thing that we know that when a person has to take care of their needs, the one thing they need more than anything is not siyata d'shmaya for their kever, then it's siyata d'shmaya for the bathroom. Because it's an ongoing daily thing, marzutra hit it on the head. So Rav is at Rafram Bar Papa. Leimalon Mar Mehani Milima Al Yasa the Amrit Mishay Rav Chista, but Mili Dibe Kinishta. So Rav is at Rafram Bar Papa. Tell us over some of the nice teachings of Rav Chista that he said regarding the sanctity of a shul. Amrle, Hachi Amrat Chista, Mai Dichsev Oei Vashem Sha'arei Tzion Mikol Mishkenos Yaakov. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Sha'arei Tzion, the gates of Tzion, more than all of the tents of Yaakov, or the dwellings of Yaakov? Oei Vashem Sha'arim HaMitzionim BaHalacha, Yostem Mibatei Knesios UMibatei Midrashos. So they dash in the Pasuk to say that Tzion is a play on words, Tzion Mitzionim. That what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu love more than anything? God loves the gates, where halacha is decided more than all of the shuls and all of the batei midrash, meaning the places where ultimately halacha is decided, those places have a special closeness to God more than anywhere else. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the only thing that God has left in this world are the four amos of halacha. Now, what does that mean, Rabbi Osai? So the Marashah explains over here as well, this idea that what is halacha? Halacha ultimately is the quest for truth. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's primary midah is emes, is truth. So God is by definition drawn to those places, more specifically, where the quest for truth is more acute. So Abaye says, I used to learn in the Beis Medrash. I used to learn the Beis Medrash, and I would go to David and Shul. Kevan Dishama, Dishamana Lahu, the Amor El Chiyavar Ami Mishmei Du'ula, Miyom Shechara Beis HaMikdash, Ein La'a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bolama Ela Arba Amo Shalacha Bilbad, Lohava Matzulna Ela Hecha De Garcina. So interestingly enough, Abaye says, I used to learn in the Beis Medrash and go to David and Shul. Once I heard the statement of Rav Chista, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu loves the places in which Halacha is decided, I began davening in the Beis Medrash as well. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Afa Gav Dahavalu Treisa Beis Knishta Betveria, Lo Matzli Ela Beni Amude Hecha Dahavagarsi. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, even though they had more than 13 shuls in Tveria, they didn't daven with a minyan in shul, but rather what they did was, they had the minyan in the basement, literally between the pillars. Between the pillars means their base medrash. They daven in the base medrash and not in the shuls. Va'omir Rabbi Chiya bar Abi Mishmei De'ula. Godol hanena miyegiyo, yosir miyirei shamayim. So Rabbi Chiya bar Ami says the name of Shmuel, it is better for one, better is the one who benefits from his own exertion than simply the one who relies on heaven. The ilu gabi yirei shamayim ksiv, because when it comes to yirei shamayim, it says ashrei ish yirei Hashem. Praiseworthy is the man who fears God, meaning which refers to an individual who essentially says, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything. The ilu gabi nehne miyegiyo, but regarding someone who puts in the effort to bring about the results that he wants in life, someone who puts in exertion, ksiv yigia kapecha kitochal, you will eat the labors of your hand. Ashrecha v'tov lach. It is praiseworthy for you, and it'll be good for you. Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh, praiseworthy are you in this world. V'tov lach li'olam haba, and it will be good for you in the world to come. Ulegabe yirei shamayim, but for the person who just simply relies on heaven without putting in the exertion, v'tov lach lo ksiv be. It does not say it will be good for you. V'am Rabbi Chiya bar Ami Mishmei De'ula, li'olam yador adam b'makom rabo. A person should always live in the place where his Rebbe lives. Shekol zman sheshim ben gira kayim, because as long as Shem ben Gira was alive, Shem ben Gira was the Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech, Lo nasa Shlomo as Bas Paro. Shlomo didn't marry Bas Paro. So remember, when he married Bas Paro, that was the beginning of a very tumultuous situation for Shlomo HaMelech. There was a lot of avod zara introduced into his home. V'hatanya al yodur, and yet another bride says you shouldn't live in the same place as your rabbi. The Gemara says it's not a kasha. Lo kasha had the kayifle, had the lo kayifle. Everything depends on if you are willing to listen to your rabbi. If you're willing to listen to your rabbi, you should live next door to him, live in the same city. If you're not willing to listen to your rabbi, don't live next to him, because it's not going to look good when you don't follow his counsel. Amar Afuna bar Yehuda, Amar Arim Menachem, Arim Ami. Ma dichsiv va'ozvi Hashem. The Ozvi Hashem Ikalu. What's the meaning of the Ichlu? What's the meaning of the pasuk that those who forsake Hashem, leave Hashem, will be destroyed? Zehamaniach Sefer Torah v'yotze. This refers to someone who leaves a Sefer Torah. He's a Sefer Torah. We'll see what that means in a little bit. Rabbi Avo, Nafik bin Gavra Legavra. So clearly what the Gemara is talking about over here is one who leaves in the middle of laning. That if they're in the middle of laning, the Torah is open, they're reading from it, and you go ahead and you leave. About that, the Pasuk says, Va'ozi Hashem Yikalo. That's considered to be like actively leaving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, yeah. We don't need the Gemara for that. Yeah, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Avo, Nafik bin Gavra Legavra. Rabbi Avo would only leave in between Aliyos. In between Aliyos. Bayra Papa, Be Psuka 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 Mahu. So Rabbi Papa asked, what about in between Psukim? Right? Can you leave in between Psukim? So the Gemara says, Teiku, that's a kashna. I both say, you'll think to yourself, in between Psukim, Narashi points out they had a Turgamon, right? They had a translator. So remember, they'd read a Pasuk, the Turgamon would go ahead and translate the Pasuk, and then the Baal Kori would pick up again. So there was time in between the Psukim. Rav Sheshes Mahadra Ape Vigoris. Rav Sheshes would go ahead and during laning would turn his head in a different direction and would learn Amar Anan Bididon Ve'inhu Bidido. Literally, we do our thing, they do their thing. So Rav Sheshes would go ahead and he'd learn his Mishnayos or whatever else during laning. Halacha, we don't follow that, except for someone as Misha Tarasu Umnaso. Someone who day and night learns Torah, they have a different set of halachos. But for the regular people like us, during laning, we give Kriyas Torah undivided attention. Amar Afuna Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Ami. Li'olam Yashlim Adav Parashos Avimat Tzibor. A person should always finish learning the parasha with the tzibur, shtayim mikra ve'echad targum. That's a very important halacha. A person should always do shtayim mikra ve'echad targum, which means that for the parashas ha-shavua, a person must make sure to review the parasha by reading each pasuk twice and learning the targum. The targum that it's referring to over here is a reference to targum unkulos, although we'll expound on that just a little bit more. Va'afilu ataros v'divon. And even words like ataros v'divon, which are the names of places, which are words that don't have a deeper meaning in targum, right? If you look in Unkulos for Ataros Adivon, so Unkulos just gives some kind of Aramaic-sized Ataros Adivon. See, even words that don't have a deeper meaning, you still have to do the Targum for it. Shekala Mashlim Parashosu Matzibor, because anyone who finishes learning the Parasha with the schedule of the Tzibor, Ma'arichin Lo Yamav Ushnosav, is blessed with longevity of days and years. Also, whenever you see that bracha of Yamav Ushnosav, what that means is Shnosav refers to longevity. Yamav refers to meaning. So a person who does Shtayim Mikra Ve'achat Targum, a person who learns Parashas HaShavua every week, reading each pasuk twice with Targum Unkulus, will have hopefully be blessed with longevity. But you know, we have no control of the longevity piece, but you do have control over the Yomim piece. One thing is for sure, which is your days will be more meaningful. Rabbi Bar Abaye had a good chap. He said, "You know what? I'm going to go ahead and learn all of the parshios on Erev Yom Kippur, right? New Year, I'm going to learn all of the parshios." So the Gemara says, "Tanala Chia Bar Rav Midifti." So Rav Chia Bar Difti, Rav Chia Bar Rav Midifti said to him, "Ksiv ve'inisim es nafshoseich v'ti yishal lachoresh ba'erev." So the pasuk says that you shall afflict yourself from the ninth of the month. So the Gemara says, "V'chi b'tishim esanev halo basar esanin." So one second, Yom Kippur is not on the 9th, Yom Kippur is on the 10th. So why does the Torah say that you afflict yourself on the 9th? El lomer lecha kala ochel v'shose b'tishi ma'ala alav akasar kilu misanev b'tishi v'asiri. So what it means to tell us is that whoever eats and drinks on the 9th, you get reward for eating and drinking on the 9th, and then fasting on the 10th, as if you fasted both days. So why is the Gemara bringing this down over here? Because Chiyah Barav was telling this to Rabbi Bar Abaye. Rabbi Bar Abaye wanted to sit in the base and learn the Torah the whole day. Chiyah Barav said to him, today's not the time for learning. Today is the time for what? Today is time for eating. Savar lak deminhu. So he thought, you know what? Let me get a head start on the parshios and do them ahead of time. You're not supposed to go ahead and do the parsha any earlier or any later. Meaning, the mitzvah of shtayim mikra ve'echad targum is a din in parshas hashavua, doing it in line with the schedule of the tzibur. As Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi libnei, as Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said to his children, ashlimu parshasaychu imat tzibur shtayim mikra ve'echad targum. Make sure to always finish the parshas hashavua with the tzibur by reading each pasuk twice and doing targum onkulos. Furthermore, he gave his sons other instructions as well. V'hizaru bivridin, k'rabi Yehuda. Be careful with the vridin. Vridin are veins that exist in fowl. So go ahead, make sure you cut the vridin, like Rabbi Huda says, this man, Rabbi Huda Omer, ad sheyishchot es havridin. Make sure that you cut the veins, the vridin. Also, the point that, as Rashi points out, is that if you cut the vridin, it drains the blood much faster from birds. So you don't technically you don't have to do that according to technical laws of Shechita. Rabbi Huda said it's good advice. V'hizaru bizokin sheshachach tomudo machmas onso. And be very careful to give kavod to an older person who has forgotten his learning as a result of his old age, right? I guess what we would say today is for somebody who has Alzheimer's, somebody who has dementia, be careful that you give that person, that zokin, that tam tchachem kavod also. Why? The aminon, luchos, the shivrei luchos, munachos baron. Because as we know that in the aron, there are the whole set of luchos and the broken luchos as well. So the Gemara understands that the zokin, the older person who has forgotten his learning, he's called shivrei luchos. He's called broken tablets. And we give respect to the broken tablets as well. We will say just one piece on this. For the shtayim mikra ve'echad targum, Sitosos and others point out that one could satisfy the targum with any other commentary on Torah. You can't just use a straight translation. That doesn't do it. But if you use Rashi, for example, so it doesn't have to be Unkelos. You could do Rashi as well. Interestingly enough, just very, very quickly, the Torah quotes Rav Natronoi Gon. And Rav Natronoi Gon says, no, itdafka has to be Unkelos. Why? Because the Gemara Maseches Megillah says that Targum Unkelos wasn't actually written by Unkelos. Targum Unkelos was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and Unkelos was the one who kind of codified it and organized it. So it says Rav Natronoi Gon, because Targum Unkelos is Sanaitic, therefore Dafka has to be Unkelos. The Beis Yosef, and he codifies this in the Shulchan. His conclusion is, therefore, Yirei Shamayim, if you are fearful of heaven, you should do both. Make sure to do Rashi, because Rashi is a real good parish that speaks to most people, as well as Unkelos. Okay, but either way, whether you do Rashi and Unkelos, Rashi or Unkelos, or use some other Targum, we clearly see that this notion of doing Shtayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum, finishing the Parsha each and every week with the Tzibur, is very important. Amalu Rava Libnei. Rava said to his children, Kisha'atim chotchim basar, when you cut meat, al techatchu al gav hayad, don't cut it on top of your hand. Meaning, this is exactly what our parents teach us all of the time. Right? When you're cutting something, Don't cut like this. Don't cut like this. So the Gemara says, Ikad amrim mishum sakana. Some say because of sakana, because simply it's dangerous. The ikad amrim mishum kilkul suda. Others say, because what's going to happen if you're cutting that meat on top of your hand and you end up cutting your hand and there's blood? It's disgusting, right? Nobody's going to want to eat that. Va'al teishvu amitas aramis, and don't sit on the bed of an aramian. We'll explain all of these things. Va'al tavra achori beisaknesses b'shashatzir mispalin, and don't walk by the back of a shul, meaning don't walk by the outside of a shul, by the entrance or by the exit, by the doorway, at a time that the tzibur is davening. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says, Al teishu amitas aramis, don't sit on the bed of an aramian. Ika de amri lo signu below kriyashma. So some say that actually what it really means is, don't go to sleep without saying Shema. That don't make your bed into an Aramean bed. What's an Aramean bed? Aramean bed is a bed without God. So don't go to sleep without saying Shema. V'ike da'amri lo dilotinas bugiyorta. Others say that, what does it mean? It actually means don't marry a giores. Don't marry a convert. Now, why would Rava give that advice? It's very important to know. Rava was a Kohen. Rava was a Kohen. So he's reminding his children that as Kohanim, they are not permitted to go ahead and marry a convert. V'ika de'amri aramis mamish. Others say no. That what it really, mitas aramis, literally means an Aramean's bed. So why? What happened? Umishum maise de Rav Papa. Because the episode of Rav Papa, what happened to Rav Papa? Rav Papa, Rav Papa apparently had lent a particular Aramean woman a sum of money. And he came to her house to collect the money. Hotzi'a lo mita, Amra lo shef. So she said she brought out a couch. Really, bed is the wrong word. She brought out a couch for him and told him, sit down. Amar lo eini yoshev ad shetag bi es amita. I'm not sitting down until you lift up the cushion on the bed, on the couch. Higbia es amita umatzo sham tinok meis. So they lifted up the cushion and they found there a dead child. So Rashi points out what was happening over here. It was a setup that the Aramean woman wanted to get out of paying the debt to Rav Papa. So what was she going to do? She was going to accuse Rav Papa of killing her child. So Rav Papa, how he knew to be choshesh for this, I have no idea. But that's the Gemara. So Rava says this, be careful, the Arameans are known to be somewhat conniving, devious people, so just be careful when you're dealing with them. Mikan Amru Chacham, from here the rabbi said, Ashtur Leishiv Amitas Aramis, you can't sit on Aramian's bed. And you should not pass by the back of the shul at a time that the tzibor is davening. So the Gemara says, Rashi says over here, Asr Lavar Shenira Kimavriach Atzmomi Pesach Beisan Knesset Sheva Mizrach. Because it looks like everyone else is in there davening and what? And you're doing something else. So the idea also, he points out over here, well, yeah. So the idea is everybody's inside davening, so you should, if for every reason you're not in the shul, don't pass by the entranceway of the shul at the time when the tzibor is davening. Mesei Eli Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, Dar Yoshua Ben Levi. Because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says it is usher for a person to go ahead and pass by the back of the shul, which is open, at the time when the tzibur is davening. Because again, the question then becomes, why are you not in there and everybody, it doesn't look right? Amr Abaye, v'lo amr ela deleka pischa achrina. So Abaye says, this is only true if there's not another entrance. Aval ika pischa achrina, leslam, bless you. But if there is another entrance, then we're not worried. Why? Because people who are seeing you walk by one entrance are not going to be choshesh that you're not coming into shul. They'll think maybe you're just coming in through the other entrance. Velo amar ela deleka beknishta achrina. Furthermore, it's only prohibited when there's not another shul. Because if there's only one shul in town and you're not in it, the obvious question is, why? But if there's another shul, so okay, people see you walking by over here, I daven somewhere else. Aval ika beknishta achrina. Furthermore, it only applies if you're not carrying some type of load. Because again, if you're carrying a load, then it's clear that you have somewhere else to be. You're engaged in something else. And therefore, the fact that you're not in shul is not considered to be a slight to the tzibur. Furthermore, or it's only true if you're not wearing tefillin. But if you're wearing tefillin, so it's clear again that you're someone who is connected to Hashem. You're not avoiding the responsibilities to God, so then we're not worried. So as long as you have one of these factors, either there's another entrance to the shul, there's another shul in town, you're carrying a load and you're running on your way, you're wearing tefillin, which are all good excuses for why it is that you're not in shul. If you have one of these, then there's no problem passing by the shul. If you don't have one of these, then you should not walk by the shul at the time that the tzibur is davening. So Rabbi Akiva says there are three reasons why I love the people from Madai, the Medians, the Medes. Kishechotchin es habasar, ein chotchin el agabe ashulchan. So Rabbi Akiva's finding redeeming factors even in these nations of the world. When they cut meat, they only cut it on the table, as opposed to cutting it on top of their hands. Kishenoshkin, when they kiss each other, ein noshkin el agav hayad. They only kiss each other on the hand. Rashi points out, because they know that sometimes when you kiss someone, you could leave a little trace of saliva. So instead of leaving saliva on each other's cheek, they go, they're careful with each other and they only kiss each other on the hand. Ukishi yoatsin, and yoatsin elabasada. And when they want to speak about sensitive matters and discuss, get right, literally take counsel from one another, where do they do it? They only do it in the field. Amr of Adar Ava Mikra. So Rav Adar Bar Ava says, what's the pasuk that supports this idea of only speaking about things in the field? Vayishlach Yaakov, Vayikra l'Rachel u'l'Leah, Hasada el Tzono. Because you see, that's when Yaakov Avinu wants to discuss with Rachel and Leah about leaving Lavan's house. Where does he call them out to? He calls them out to the field. Rashi says, Ela Besada is a good Rashi to remember. The Amri Inchi, because people say, Oznayim Lekosel. Because people always say what? The walls have ears. Okay, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Gamliel. B'shoshodram ohev anies aparsim. Rabbi Gamliel says, I love the Persians for three reasons. Number one, hein tznun ba'achilasam. They're very modest when they eat. Utznun ve'sakise. They're very modest in the bathroom. Utznun b'davar acher. And they're very modest when it comes to marital relations. Anitza, but the nevertheless the Gemara says, Gemara now quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya, Anitzi Vesi, Linikudo Shai, Gam Karisi Giborai Laapi. How far does the pasuk go? Excuse me. Anitzi Vesi Limikudoshai, Tanar Rav Yosef, Ela Haparsim. This pasuk refers to the Persians, Hamikudoshin Umizumonim Ligehenim, who are set aside and are prepared to go to Gehenim. So it's what I think, Anitzuvesi Mikudoshai, I have commanded regarding those Mikudoshai, the literal translation is sanctified. Mikudoshai could also mean set aside. I have commanded regarding those who are set aside. So the Gemara understands that that's referring to the Persians who are set aside for Gehenim. So the Gemara is saying, as much as Rabbi Gamliel found certain redeeming factors within some of their practices, nevertheless, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, they're going to Gehenim for what they did to Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, so we'll say now we get back to Halacha. Rabbi Gamliel says, now if you remember again, back in the Mishnah, we're not totally finished with Agarata, but for now we'll take a little break. So if you remember again, once upon a time we had a Mishnah, and the Mishnah said that Rabbi Gamliel said that you could say Kriyat Shema until when? Until Alos HaShachar, until dawn. So the Gemara said, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shema Halacha Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Shema, that Halacha has Rabbi Gamliel. Tanya Rabbi Shema Yochai Omer. Rabbi Shema Yochai says the following. You could have a situation where a person davens Shema twice at night, one time before dawn and one time after dawn, and he could discharge two obligations, achas shel yom for the daytime Shema, v'achas shel laila for the nighttime Shema. So if you say Shema right before dawn, it's Ma'ariv Shema. If you say Shema right after dawn, it's daytime Shema. So you could literally say two back-to-back Shemas and discharge two obligations. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Haguf akashya. You just contradicted yourself. Amrit pam sha'adam kori kriya Shema shtei pamim balayla. You just said that there are times that a person could daven Shema twice at night. Alma la'achar shi'ala mod ha'shachar laylahu. Therefore, it must be that what? That even after Alos is considered to be what? Is considered to be nighttime. V'hadr tani yotzi b'hen yedei chavaso achal shi'on v'achal shalayla. But then you just said that you could fulfill the obligation of daytime Shema, which would then mean what? Alma yomamahu. Therefore, it's day. So which one is it? Is after dawn considered to be day, or is after dawn considered to be night? To which the Gemara says, "Am li alimamu lo li olam lailahu." In reality, after dawn, really until sunrise, we'll see until when. But after dawn is still considered to be night. We'll see if that's true. Our conclusion: V'had dekari leyom. Why would we call it day? De'ika inchi dekami b'hahi shaita. Because there are people who are beginning to get up at that time. Or else, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following: that maybe kriya shema shel shachar doesn't necessarily require halachic day. What does kriya shema shel shachar require? Ubikumecha. Ubikumecha. When people begin to get up. And when do people begin to get up for the day? After dawn. After dawn is when people begin to rise. And therefore the Gemara is suggesting that even if, although this is not our conclusion, but even if technically speaking the period right after dawn is still considered to be night, you may still be able to discharge your daytime Kriya Shema obligation because it is a time that people are beginning to rise. So we'll stop over here.